Welcome today. Thank you all for showing up to our brown bag lunch series. Today we are super, super excited to welcome Donna from, not that Donna's from Guiding Eyes, but she's matched with a guide dog from Guiding Eyes, her guide dog, Toby, who's laying down right here. Donna is also accompanied by her driver, Sharon, today. And so Donna is going to talk to us about what it's like living with vision loss, how the world works for people with vision loss, how having a guide dog is able to help with vision loss. And then, as with all of our other brown bag lunches, we will open it up for any questions that anyone might have. We are also recording the audio, so if you know someone who wasn't able to be here today and wanted to listen, we'll be able to share that with them as well. Right. So I'll pass it over to you, Donna, if you're good to get started.
How much time do you have?
That's why I was asked to do this. Hi, my name is Don Ells. And yeah, you can say I'm from Guiding Eyes. We students, we always say Guiding Eyes is our second home when it comes to us. They're very welcoming, and they have such a great personality there. All the trainers are a lot like you guys, very low-key, very happy to see us. Of course, it also makes them get a paycheck, but that's beside the point. But they have the greatest personality, and they love their dogs. I remember, well, first of all, let me let you know, I was born blind. I was born legally blind. What I have is coloboma on my right side. My left side never developed. When I was younger, I didn't need a dog. I didn't need a cane. I was more able to do a lot of fun things on my own and did a lot of stuff. I was very independent. When 2011 came, I ended up with cataracts. It's early stage cataracts. And I started losing my sight in my right eye, which has the coloboma. It was causing serious problems. 2013 came around. MCB, which is the Mass Commission for the Blind, offered me to go to one of the places was the Carroll Center to get training to learn on how to have less vision, how to be more willing to ask, and how to be able to do different things on my own, even though I have less vision. I also talked to my family about getting a guide dog. Now, mind you, this was 2013. A guide dog is new for me. I had to pick up the cane, work more with the cane. By the way, yuck. Anybody you talk to that has a cane and then gets to a dog, trust me, they'll all tell you the same thing. Yuck. Canes are a pain in the butt. You got to fold them up. You got to find your place. And they rust and whatever. And they're just not my cup of tea. So I talked to my family in 2013 about going to get my first guide dog. I had a friend named Kathy Gabry who had a guide dog from Guiding Eyes. And we've always talked about the guide dogs and how she works them and stuff. So she just said, Donna, go get a guide dog. Basically, you'll do fine. You're great at it. You got the great personality. They'll find you the right dog. So I applied. When I applied, they come down. I'm sure you guys do the same thing. You go and visit the person. You kind of take videos, how they walk, how they act, what's their personality, you know, that kind of a thing. What the home looks like, what the yard looks like. You know, they kind of get that kind of a gist. So they did that, and then they called me up and said, congratulations, we reviewed you, and they go through a board, basically, and they all look, is she a good person to have a dog? Does she do enough to work that dog? Because you don't want to give a dog, as you guys know, if they're not going to be used the way they've been trained. Otherwise, the skills are gone. The dog loses their skills, no different than anybody else. So they said, okay, you can come. So 2013, I think I was home maybe, 7 months out of the whole year? I was gone a lot. I went from January to the Carroll Center to May. That was my retraining how to be an independent blind person with worse eyesight than what I was growing up with. So that's one of the things. Then in August of 2013, very nervous, by the way, I left to go get my first guide dog. Her name is Lasha. She's now retired. I went there. You get your own room and all this good stuff that goes with it. You can do home training. They do it. My house is chaotic. I'm like, and I have to separate myself to get the full engrossment of it. You know what I mean? I had to separate myself from my life to then understand what it means to have a guide dog. Like, I've never had one before. I didn't know what the training was going to be like. Thank God it was a month I was gone, because my first time, I needed that month to adapt, to allow an animal to have my independence. I mean, it does protect me, you know what I mean? And so I have to release some of my ability. I can do this. I can do this on my own. I don't need nobody. To, okay, my four-legged friend, it's all you. You got to get me around this building. You got to get me across the street. You got to find that door. You got to find me the bathroom. You got to do all this stuff because my vision's not working anymore. So I have to put my faith into a dog. That's scary. I'm like, oh, I'm telling you, it was bad. I started off, I was very nervous. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I sat down with my first guide dog, Lasha, and we sat down and said, well, there is no I in team, my friend. So, and we had to sit in our room, mind you, and you have to become kind of like a little bit of a bonding time. They call it a bonding time. At that time, it was about an hour, hour and a half, maybe two, that you sat, you played, they gave you a bone, and I just sat on the floor and I just talked to my dog. And we're going to figure this one out. You know, I literally talked to her because it was like therapeutic for me because I had no idea what I was doing. I was petrified. So that dog not only became my guide dog, but my therapist at the same time. Thank God. I would never trade her in for anything. So I started off a little rough on the edges. And then as time progressed, I became more confident. Me and Lasha became a great team. One of the instances is I was walking with my trainer, Melinda, who was my trainer at the time, who was working with me. We're walking along, and I said, well, I have to go to CVS. So we're doing our thing. And the cane finds the rim of the door. So, you know, you're looking for the door. You have to listen for the sounds and all this stuff. So I'm walking along doing my little thing, and I'm like, okay, well, Melinda, where's the CVS? And she says, you're in it. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, Donna, you walked to the door. I was so like, she laughed. She thought it was, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't have to listen for the door sound because, you know, they make that whoop and then they close. And, you know, and I was just doing my thing, and I'm like, oh my God. This was fantastic, fantastic. Independence like I've never had before. I felt confident. The dog was just the bomb. So we're doing our, so it got more and more as I realized, I got this, I can do this. Me and this dog are partners in something that it gives me what I need to live day by day. Yeah, maybe I don't go to work. I don't care. I can go grocery shopping. I can go to the movies. I can go to the library. I can go, he was doing Worcester Senior Center. I was taking the van wherever I wanted to go because I didn't need anybody. It's nice, you know, sometimes you guys can understand this. It's like, you no offense to anybody here that's got a big family, y'all know, or even your husband or wife, and you're like, I gotta go for a ride by myself. I just got to go by myself. I just need time. Let me go get a coffee. Let me go get something. You stay home. I'm going. I'll be back, right? And that's kind of what it is for me because I always have to, when before all this, before a guide dog, you have to go with somebody. Yeah, you got the cane. The cane isn't going to help you find that door. It can help you make sure you don't fall in a pothole, or it can also help you make sure you're not going to flip over a crack. But in the retrospect, it's just this object. It's this object. So when I got the dog, I left my family at home. Thank you very much. And me and Masha, we did everything. I loved going to the movies. I still do. Toby, on the other hand, got to work on. But I had a daughter I was able to take. And she did dancing. So me, her, and I had my driver. But I didn't need somebody to say, all right, take my elbow. We'll go to the bathroom. Take my elbow. We'll go find a seat. Take my elbow. We'll go get this or that. I didn't need that. I said, I'll be back. Got up, got my dog, walked away. Nicest feeling ever. It gives us, like I said, that independence. So this is how it happened the first round. Second round was a little different. Second round was me and Lasha with partners. And I'm sure you also get this when somebody comes back and says, okay, I've got to retire, you know, so-and-so because of whatever. And it's just like you've got to let go of one dog where you've created a team. You've got this rhythm down to then say, okay, I love you, Lasha, but you're not able to do what I need anymore. You're too old. I got to go get a new friend. So I went to guide school back, Guiding Eyes, in February. So me and Toby, quiet, are actually a new brand new team. So I go in, same, not as bad of an anxiety. I was a little bit better this time because I knew what a little bit I needed to have that confidence this time around, because that's what Lasha gave me, more confidence. So I went in and, you know, you get your room, you meet your trainers and everything, and you're waiting for this new dog. And you have to do what they call a Juno walk, which is my trainer, which was Dan at the time. He takes the harness, he holds the harness, and he pulls me to make sure that me and Toby are good fit. Because you don't want a dog that's too slow in pace, and you don't want a dog that's too fast in pace. So you've got to find that fine rhythm. So he said, nope, I got this dog for you, Donna. She's going to be awesome for you. So we were introduced, me and Toby. And again, we had some time in our room, and I gave that spiel, huh, buddy, where it's me and her just sat on the chair and we said, there is no I in team. We're together. And I really bonded with her. She really took in with me. And it was just learning again on a different level with Toby is Lasha was my first dog. She was slow. I was slow. I'm not going to lie to you. I probably maybe a little bit faster than a snail, but I was no speed demon because I didn't have the confidence. Like I said, Lasha was my therapist plus my guide dog. She handled a lot for me. A lot of meltdowns, a lot of this and a lot of that. But Lasha is my first dog. She got it. That's the kind of a dog she was. She just was that way. Toby is my little speed demon now. She's the puppy that wants to go, 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 and wants to move, and I swear she has ADD, which is good for me now because of Lasha and the way she worked out for me. So we went, and I went, and we did our thing there, and Toby has a much of a higher energy, and we worked through it, and we became such a great team now. We still have our quirks, but she's beginning to read me. She's beginning to understand me, and it's amazing to me how they do that, how dogs will just connect with you in a way that you wouldn't expect, and how I connected with Toby in a way I wouldn't have expected. You know what I mean? It's just, there's just that rhythm, that connection that me and Toby have that's very real, very true. So now we go to the gym, huh? And so now we're off to the gym. We go out to eat, still working on that a little bit, but I'm all over the place again. I have that confidence that Toby gives me and the freedom that she gives me to make me feel really, you know, a part of society without feeling like I need to sit in a corner being afraid of, you know, somebody gonna jump out at me or this or that. And we just go right around people and we just, you know, it's like at the mall. My sister loves it. When my sister Wendy will go to we used to go to the Greendale Mall, and it doesn't matter whatever mall, and me and Toby are moving. And you know those people, Yeah, just walking there oblivious, and me and Toby are moving along, and my sister sits back and says, I love it. I love it. You just go, and these people are like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they're like, I don't know where they are. I don't care. You know, you got a dog, and I got me, and then you got enough to have enough common sense. Put your phone down and pay attention. But me and Toby, we just do her thing. Her job is to make sure I can go up and down the stairs, make sure I go around those corners, and do whatever needs to be done. It's like I said, it gives me independence. I go to the Worcester Public Library. I train people to use the iPhone that are visually impaired or have some other form of disability. So they get a kick out of, you know, having the dog there. I was doing Lasha before she retired, and people just loved it because I was more laid back, and I kind of let her be more of the a service dog to them, kind of like, because everybody needs their puppy fix. And I was just like, yeah, you can pat her. It kind of gives them that therapy. I have one gentleman that is, he has brain damage from having a heart attack, and he loved Lasha, and I just said, well, go ahead. You can go pet her, and, you know, I'm retiring her, and you can talk to her. And I was hoping to make her a therapy dog, but Lasha likes being at home. She wants to go for rides, but, yeah, you go without me sometimes. But, yeah, so that's basically it for me. Like I said, they took really good care of her. Toby is not her real name. Well, it is.
It is
but
now.
It is now. When Toby, they are, I don't know how you guys do it here for puppies, but in Guiding Eyes, they letter their litter. Okay, they go by the alphabet. So Toby was actually from the K litter. But Toby is a $10,000 dog name. Somebody said, that looks just like my puppy at home I lost. Can I name it? And they said, sure, go ahead. You want $10,000? You name it whatever you want. So they took that 10 grand and put that name on her. Huh. So they said, you got a special dog. I said, yeah, I do. There ain't no question. She is, it's getting that, her to understand, and I'm sure you guys get that same thing too a lot of times when you're putting out a dog. It's getting that dog to understand there's socialization time, there's work time. And it's getting, and Toby is getting there slowly where she can understand harness on, harness working. Harness off, I'm a dog. And she's still in that mode. She came from people that were raised her that were in their 80s. And they had her actually for a long time. Toby is one of the last dogs to be bred before the shutdown of COVID. So Toby had that extra time of being a puppy. Do you know what I mean? So normally at almost 3 years old, she would have already been out over a year ago, okay? But because they shut down, because of all the situations, she's kind of behind a little bit on being partnered up with somebody. So when they gave her to me, they just said, don't give her too much leash, you know, where it's all gonna, she's gonna take advantage of it. And she does, but sometimes it's like, sometimes I gotta be a little mean, but there are some times where I'm just like, you get this elderly person who's got serious problems. Oh, and they bend over. What am I going to say? I mean, they're not comprehending that. No, she's working. They don't get it. So a lot of times, in this case, I'll just say, oh, and I'll pull Toby back to me. And I'll say, oh, thank you. And I'll kind of push her more to my side and say, okay, thank you so much. Oh, she's, yeah. I don't, see, for me, it's, you can't explain it because they're not going to get it. It's even with children that are younger that have serious, like my nephew Benjamin at home, who's autistic. He's severely autistic. And I would put the harness on her, and he'll come over, and I'll say, oh, you know, and the mother will say, oh, she's working, ah, blah, blah. It's not connecting. It's not going to register. I give it time, and I give it patience. You know, I pull her away and I say, oh, thank you. And I expect the mom to kind of, you know, if the mother knows, the mother should come over and say, oh, okay, honey, that's good. You know, and try to explain to the child he's working. And I try to, too. But, you know, again, they're not connecting the dots. So it's being patient, being understanding. I don't use a sign because I find them, some people really like them. Some people don't have the time to talk to people. I do. And if I can, yes, I'm a talker. Y'all see that. If I can educate by somebody coming up, oh, can I? No. No, you can't. And I sit there and explain why. When you have the sign, it puts people off. And not only that, but I also find Massachusetts has got a lot of illiterate people. No offense. It doesn't comprehend either. So instead of saying, you know, so there, I've had friends who have the sign, and they go, like, and somebody will come up, don't you see that sign? And I'm like, that's rude. I mean, I think it's great. You got the sign there, but educate them why you have the sign there. You know what I mean? I just have those that point to it and just say, don't. And to me, oh, no, no. That, she's working right now. She's on, you know, she's on the job. She's doing her thing to keep me safe. When you pet her and you start talking to her, she's off key. She's not focused on me. She's focused on you. We start walking. I'm going to hit a wall. These are things that happen. Yes, I know. I hear you talking. So these are the things that I really like is when people stop me and just ask questions. And that's important. It's the only way anybody's going to learn is just by educating them and being realized that, you know, dogs and any kind of animal is on the job in a harness. And I love them harnesses.
Tell them about the negativity at Walmart.
As you guys know, working with dogs, there are some people out there that don't like animals. Yeah, I don't know if anybody yet here has run into them. I have. I remember getting my first dog. I was going grocery shopping at Walmart, doing my thing. And me and Lasha were walking along. And guy, I think he had like shorts on or whatever. And he turned to me and said, your dog touched me. I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, I'm walking down the aisle here. I don't know what you're doing. Your dog touched me. I felt your dog's nose on my leg. And I'm like, oh, this, mind you, this is my, I just got home, by the way, from Lasha. And I said, oh, I am so sorry, sir. So I went around the corner. Of course, I'm red. I'm this. And then, you know, a lot of people just say, let it go. They're just ignorant. And that's what I have to learn is let it go when they're just ignorant. They don't understand. You're in my way. The dog is trying to go by you. If the dog touches your nose, what do you want me? I back up. We rework it. But you don't. They don't have to turn around and be absolutely disrespectful and rude about it. And again, that's where the education comes. At that time, I didn't understand that. So I just went around the corner and felt like I was going to fall on the floor, embarrassment. But I learned the hard way. Don't be afraid to just open your mouth and say, sir, we're working. We apologize that we hit you or bumped into you or whatever. Now it's she's doing her job. Apparently, what are you doing? You know, kind of get that idea of what are you doing in the middle of the aisle? Why are you in the middle? You know what I mean? So it's like, so this is where I'm at now. I don't have a problem opening my mouth and saying, what you doing? You know, and saying, can you help me? And all that stuff. But no, but that's it for me. That's what I love doing. It's what we love doing. We love doing our thing.
So speaking of educating, Donna, would we be able to open up the floor to questions?
Sure.
Anyone has any questions?
Ask me anything.
I have a question, but it's actually for Sharon.
Go ahead.
But I did love your story, Donna.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, I was just curious, like, how you know Donna, or if this is like a completely random relationship.
She's my older sister.
Oh. Yeah, right.
I'm the oldest. Yeah. She lives in an apartment above the garage. I have a big house, mm-hmm. Big family house.
It was my great grandmother's house, and my mom was able to. It was went to then my grandmother, and then it went to my mom, and then it went to Sharon. So it's a duplex, plus I'm over the garage. So there's a little apartment, it's two bedrooms, parlor kitchen. So I live by, because of Toby and all the situations I have, I'm able to live up there by myself. So I don't have anybody. So, me and two dogs, and amen to that.
Usually, when my mom passed in 2011, my mother did a lot of driving, and she worked nights. So when she passed, I said, Donna, you got to do something. I'm still working. I said, you got to either get a dog, get the, you know, take the seat off, because otherwise she wouldn't be able to work. You know what I mean? So she gets a lot of help. Her daughter lives in New Hampshire.
Barnstead.
And she'll come and visit, and she'll take Donna out, and I take it to the bank and to the grocery store if she can't get the
senior van. Yeah, my town is awesome. I have this great service. The senior center really does well with the elderly and the handicapped, so, or the disability, I should say. So I can call up. And I can ask for, I talk to my friend Brian, who's the van driver. I know him all. And I'll say to him, I'd like to go to the gym, or I'd like to go here or there. And he'll say, okay, what day, what time? And we set up a time. They'll pick me up right at the house. He drops me off. I do my thing with Toby, and we get picked up again. Transportation is not easy. And I'm sure you guys have also run into problems with this. Guide dogs with the WRTA is not bad, or any service dog is not bad with the WRTA. Call an Uber, it's another whole ball of wax. Even in New York City, taxis are another one out towards Boston. I have friends out in Boston that have been turned down because of their guide dog. We've had issues with in Worcester with Uber drivers turning down people because of guide dogs, which I don't think is fair since, you know, as you know, any service dog under Massachusetts law, and you were working in the public, you got to accept the dog. But they don't want the dog. They say they smell or they shed or this or that. And it's like, again, they when you guys train them and you put them out to other people like me, they're no longer just a dog. They're... To me, Toby and Lasha was my best friend. Best friend. Retiring her wasn't easy. Picking up Toby is my best friend. I have two best friends at home. I have Toby that goes with me, Lasha that greets me at home. Still my therapy dog. But they become part, in a way, I don't, you guys train them, you guys put them out there. I wish I could honestly tell you what a difference you're making for people like me and people that have autism or any form, and you give them this dog. It's a connection that is just unbreakable. It's unbreakable. I would do anything for my dog. If I thought this dog was threatened, I'm telling you right now, I'd be the one protecting her. If she thought I was in trouble, she'd be the one protecting me. There's just a bond that you guys have created for us that you have no idea. The abilities that you give and the greatness that you give out when you hand a dog over to somebody else and you train them. It's like nothing ever. It's nothing that I don't think any of you guys will really grasp at all. And people like me are grateful for people like you. We can't have our independence. We can't do what we want to do with hanging on people. When you give out that dog, we have that ability. We end up with that confidence and saying, nah, we're part of society. We can do whatever we want with this partner we have got. It's four-legged. That's okay. And they become something the value that nothing could ever replace. Somebody could say, I'll give you $1,000, $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, $1 zillion. No. No. And I'm going to tell you that all your clients would say the same thing. There isn't enough money out there for me to trade in this dog. There isn't enough money out there for me to say I would ever give up what I have now because of this dog. Do you know what I mean? So you guys doing what you do, guiding eyes doing what they do, is awesome. And, you know, from the bottom of my heart, and I've told Guiding Eyes this too, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. This place, for people that come in and they get trained, it's like a second home. That's why I said Guiding Eyes is a home. We need those lights on. You need these lights on. These people that come to you for these dogs, they need these lights on. They need these dogs. And in society, tough Twinkies. Sometimes, like I said, you're going to run into a guy that's a miserable, you know what? Tough. They don't get it. They're not ever going to get it because their mind is so small that they just can't expect or accept that there is an animal that will give somebody else that needs that independent feeling, need that feeling of love. Human love is great, but when you get love from a dog, you all know this, it's a something different, and it's a feeling that... you have. They love you no matter what. Humans, they go, oh, I don't love them today because they piss me off. Dogs, nah. Dogs are like Toby, we'll go out. Yes, got to do a little yelling. Come home. I'll still get my hugs and kisses. We'll still, you know, and we'll talk. And I'll talk to Toby about, we got to work on this or whatever. But it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to get a backlash from her. She's not going to be, you know, too angry with me. We sit down, we share a biscuit, you know, whatever. And we have that bond. We do. We have the bond. And you create that bond because you're willing to train these dogs. Guiding Eyed is willing to train these dogs to give us that ability to know we're never alone, we're never lost out there, and we're always loved no matter what. And sometimes, you know...
told you going out there was.
Oh, I'm sure they know that. You know, Guiding Eyes, I don't know about you guys, do you know, for your clients, but for me, I don't pay a dime for Guiding Eyes. When I go out there, I get three, I spoil, let's just call it for what it is. They spoil you, seriously spoil you. We don't pay anything for our dogs. We don't pay anything for our transportation. We don't pay anything for our stay. We pay nothing. Zip, zilch, zero. It's about the best free vacation you will ever get. We go out. You get your room. It's a nice room. You're by yourself. You get your... they upped it this year. Not only did I get my own smart TV, I got my own refrigerator.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they know. So they get you get your own refrigerator, you get your TV, it's all fully loaded. You have Disney and all those little nice little apps. And you can download, too. I like, I don't know anybody here, but I like the Chosen. So I went and I asked them, can we download the Chosen? They went in, they went to the app store, and they just downloaded the Chosen. So we're able to do that. Oh, and they also had Alexa. That thing's annoying. But every room... I will tell you, every room had Alexa. Every room. From all the bedrooms to the where we go in, like this kind of room where you can play, they had an Alexa. Go upstairs to go eat, you got an Alexa. So the gym was the only place you didn't get an Alexa. However, I did tell them they needed to put an Alexa in. You get a free gym, too. So you go in, you work, you can go work out. They have a treadmill. They have a bike. They have free weights. They have a TV. Did I mention they spoil us rotten? Good food. Best. Oh, man. Really, really good food. And so we go there. But I don't pay a dime. Nothing. So this is all coming out of their pocket, which is huge. I mean, if you think about the airfare or the train fare, then you're talking about the dog food. Then you're talking about how much it's going to cost us to stay, plus the TV, plus all the food that they're putting in my refrigerator that they call up and ask me what I would like in my room. So I did that. Then you go up. Then you get all the food you want in the cafeteria area. They set it up like a kind of... It's kind of like a restaurant style because they're trying to get the dogs to learn how to sit and while you're trying to eat. You know how that goes. So that's the beginning part is really rough. Sit, up, you know what I mean? It's like a yo-yo game. It's like, oh, just sit there. So anyway, so, but that's what it is. I mean, by the time they're done, I'm sure you guys know this. It's like, you're not talking a couple $1,000s. You're talking $65,000, $75,000. It's no different here. You gotta pay for everything, and you've gotta, you know what I mean? And like I said, I don't know if your dogs are free. Now, are your dogs free, or do you like have to ask for some compensation for the dog to be, you know, placed with somebody?
Donna, we have a fundraising initiative on behalf of needs for our civilian clients of $8,000, and then our veterans do get their dog at no cost because we have a grant for veterans. Yeah. And we do fundraising throughout the year.
Yeah, that's it.
A fraction of the cost.
Oh, absolutely. It's the community. When the community gives back is how you build up. I mean, you can only get so many grants. It's the community kicking in and helping by doing all your fundraisers is where your money is, absolutely where your money comes in. And, you know, your high rollers that are willing to shell out some money that you try and hit up for. And, you know, sometimes you want them to understand what gift they're giving. You know what I mean? And that's important. But yeah, so I mean, that's it. You same thing. You guys, it's a lot of money to put out these dogs, and you know, like I said before, I'm grateful. I can't afford a $10,000 dog. It's not in my budget, not in any sense of the word. And the, you know, another thing that I'm blessed with Guiding Eyes is they give us a stipend, but that's through, again, through fundraisers, through people that are willing to donate money. They have a stipend. So Toby, with their, God love Guiding Eyes, like I've said, I will praise them till the end. They give us a stipend of $500 a year for their medical. So that's huge. That's huge, because if you think about it, the flea and tick, the going to the vet. I do PetSmart, Banfield Pet Hospital. Love. They got their moments. I can gripe about them. Everybody can about their veterinarian. But I will tell you, you can get on a wellness plan, and they break it down. So for me, for Toby yet, I haven't put her on yet because we just got home, and I'm waiting for her appointment. But for Toby, who just needs the basic right now because of the great care that, you know, I'm sure you guys do with your vets, and I'm, you know, and Guiding Eye with theirs, she's all set. So I can go with the lowest brand. So you're figuring $45, $50 a month instead of trying to come up with $500 every time you walk in, or even $150, $200 to walk in a veterinarian door. So you do $50 a month for Toby will be all her shots, and it will be for her heartworm, her flea and tick I've already got. So, and that includes, basically, I can walk in there anytime, and doesn't cost me a dime. And if I need any form of medication, that also gives me a discount. So it's available all the time for me. And I can go to any Banfield Pet Hospital out there. So they break it down. Now, with another Lasher at home, I pay $70 a month. That gets me her flea and tick. That gets me her heartworm shot. That gets me any time to walk in there. If she's feeling ill, that gets me a discount on her medication or anything else I need. That's cheaper than paying every time you got to walk in. Oh, no, they got an ear infection. Okay, go in. And then you got to swallow the bill that they give you, and then you got to swallow the amount of money you got to shell out for medication. It adds up so quick. So with the stipend, helps. It helps, and that's important. And you know, if you got a client out there that calls up and says, "I'm in big doo doo," like Lasha had orthodontal disease, I go, "Oh, it's only gonna be blah," and I'm like, "Oh, honey, I ain't got that. There ain't no way. Even with the $500 stipend, it's not even gonna help." I called them up. I said, "Listen, I got a problem." They said, "She's got orthodontal disease. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm freaking out." They said, "Listen, we have money that people donate. They're in, you know, they give out credit cards with X amount of dollars on it for people that need for medical." I said, "Okay, they want you to go to a specialist, which you have to do a actual doggy dental place, doggy dentist." I didn't even know they existed, just anybody cares. But they're out there. There's an actual doggy dentist out there. So I go to this doggy dentist, and they said, "Yeah, it'll be $3,000. I wanted to hit the floor. I was like, are you kidding? And they said, no, $3,000. We have to pull out. At that time, it was only like 6 or 7 teeth. I said, oh. So I call home, tell the school. The school says, okay, we're going to help you. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I go back. Well, needless to say, it still came to $3,000, but it was no longer 6 or 7. They took out 10 teeth. Yeah, she had bad orthodontal. So I said, okay. So she gets done with that. A year ago, they said, she needs a couple more teeth pulled. I said, are you kidding me? So I called the school. They said, yeah, you can use your, it's called the Horowitz fund for that. So I said, okay. So I was very blessed. It came to $500, literally, just about $500. And they took out, I think it was 3 more teeth. It was only supposed to be 2, but another one had to go. No extra charge, they said. So I thought that was very kind of them. But they said, yeah, so Lash has lost about 13 teeth, which is hard because, like I said, you have clients, you're giving these dogs out to, and medical issues pop up, and you're like, and it scares them. It scares you, but it scares them more because they're like, where does the money come from? How, you know, because they're sick because my best friend is sick. You know, it's like your mother. I mean, it's like your brother or sister is sick. How do you help? How do you do? And with a dog, and when their dog is like with them constantly 24/7 and they're doing all this stuff, and you're like, how do I help this dog? Because you want to, I need my dog, and I don't know how to pay for it. And you run into this anxiety, and then you're like, I'll call the school. And I did. And they did. They were very, very gracious. And they were able to help me out immensely, immensely. And I always have that open door policy. You got a problem, call us, which I think is important. You have to have that open door policy because they do might have a problem out in the field. You know, your dog does something wonky and you're like, why? Why are you all of a sudden doing this? Whatever. You're not sitting, you're standing, you're jumping, you're whatever. And it could be just something weird that, you know, the dog's actually got a problem, but they're not realizing it. So when they go home, they call, you know, maybe you, or they call, we can call Guiding Eyes and we tell them what's going on. We'll get you a trainer. Let's see if we can get them out there. If we can't get them out there, let's talk about what we're doing or what you may be or she's maybe doing wrong. Might be an ear infection, you know, shaking her head all the time. What could that indicate? Think you got to, you know, troubleshoot. But their open door policy is fantastic. And I think everybody should have that. I would assume you guys have an open door policy.
Yes.
You got a problem, go call us immediately. We will get out there. We will do whatever we can to help you get this problem solved. And it could be, like I said, if they're shaking their head, it could be just an ear infection they're not catching or something like that. So, yeah. But that's it for me. I think I talked enough.
Donna, if this is a super safe space to ask a question, could I ask a question that might, like, sound stupid?
Sure, ask it. Okay.
So earlier in your talk, you discussed going to the movies.
Yep.
When you go to the movies, are you just, like, listening to the, like, dialogue of the movie? Or if you're going to a public movie theater, is there also screen reading?
Oh, there is. Yes, there is. So
could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so now when you go to the theaters, you know, they have the ones for the deaf. You know, they can read the words, the subtitles, okay? So they have that. But I think it was about, it must be almost 10 years ago. Oh, maybe a little longer than that. They started creating audio described movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now when I go to the movies, me and, well, at the time it was Lasha. Toby yet hasn't, I haven't gone with her yet, but I've done with Lasha is me and Lasha will get our snacks. Lasha gets her snack. Lasha's got her water. We go sit down. We buy our ticket. We get our headphones, and that's exactly what it is. It's a set of headphones. On the headphones, one side will have the volume. The other side will have 3 buttons. Audio for the movie itself, audio for the, audio described. Okay, yeah. So you can listen to just, because it also is the same headphones you're going to use if you have a hearing impairment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll go, me and Lasha will help me go find a seat, and we'll go sit down. And we'll set up our little snack area. I got her little, you know, I'll give her a water bottle. She's got her a couple of cookies before we get to the movies. And I set up my little spot for my snacks. And then I'll put my headphones on. When I put my headphones on and the movie starts, I'll click a button and it'll audio describe everything that's going on that screen, which is fantastic. It's like...
And you can get that for like any movie.
Just about it. All except for Phantom. You guys seen the Phantom... it's like the ones that bring in like the opera shows or whatever they call them. They're the specialty movies that come in or whatever you want to call it. So those are not audio described. Anything else is audio described. So any regular movie is audio. Ant-Man would have been audio described. Black Panther was audio described. Any regular movie that comes out is audio described. Those that come in through that Phantom, whatever it is, they are not, because they are specialty. And I wish they were, because I'd probably would go see some of those plays and stuff like that, but they can't because they're live. A lot of that stuff is live. I know when they just did one not too long ago, which was on the Pope, they brought one in like that. That, I believe, was not audio described. You have to ask. Mm-hmm. But basically all the regular movies are. Yep.
Very cool.
Thank God, because we used to sit like this. Mm-hmm. She would sit when we were younger. I mean, when she was young. This movie screen's raining. We're all up front. We're like, I can't watch this movie like that. Because she wanted to sit down front.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
So now with the headphones, I can basically sit anywhere. I think the last one I saw was with Jonathan Rooney, which he's an actor, which was, what was that one? That was in California. It was the big revival, the Christian movement revival down in California, and it had Jonathan Rooney, who's one of my new favorite actors. But that had it in it. So what we did was go in the theaters. You go in, you take to your left. A lot of times, you have the downstairs. You have the middle where the a lot of people that have the wheelchairs will sit, and then you go up the stairs, and then you got that railing. Well, when we went up the stairs, we had the railing, and we just sat right there in front of the railing. The issue is, and this I have to take into play again, is probably not the best spot. When you're taking a dog to a movie theater, I have to put into perspective, how much room does this dog have to lay in the theater? Where we were sitting,
She's telling you you're talking too much.
I know. She does this at home, too. So it's making sure that I have the right space for her. And that's where I have to remember that. If I'm going into the theaters, I should not be sitting there. I have to give her plenty of room where she can be comfortable laying down. Normally, I didn't. I went with my sister here, and that's the only reason I actually sat up there. I felt bad. It was only the two of us, and I didn't want to leave her up there by herself. So that's why I sat up there. Should have left you. But because Toby, of course, she wasn't comfortable. So up, down, up, down. Toby, just sit. Shh, just sit. And we were going up and down, and I'm like, all right. And then it dawned on me, there's not enough room. So when I normally go, is I'll usually sit where, you know, that open space is where the wheelchairs go. I'll either sit there or down. The screen doesn't bother me. So I will sit down where there is no bar or anything, and the seats are a lot, because it's more on the flat floor, you have more room down there, leg space. And that's where normally I would sit with Lasha, because she would just go down, sprawl out. She had her cookie. She's got her watering bowl, and she'll just sprawl out. She'll go to sleep, and I'll just watch my movie, and we get up and just go. But, yeah, it's got to make sure you put that dog. You have to remember, when you sit anywhere or when you go anywhere, how much space does the dog have? You know, and that's huge. I mean, I've gone into restaurants and we're juggled around because oh, well, here you go, and you're in the middle of the room. You're in the middle of the room. You got to, and the, you guys know some of these tables. They're not realistic for dogs. So you have to be able to juggle them so that they get comfortable as much as you're comfortable. And you can't put them out. You're going to flip a waiter. Choo, up and over they go because they don't even realize. I have gone in. I don't know if anybody had a client that's had dogs, take them out to dinner. And they're like, and they come back and they tell you the story of, do you know my waitress didn't even know I had a dog? Well, no, because he's under the table. And it's like, it was so awesome. And it's like, and they got such a kick out of it. There's a thing, dog under there? And I'm like, yeah, there's a dog under there. And it's very important that you let them know right off the bat when you come in. When they say, how many? Three and a dog. When you say three and a dog, they'll be like, okay, booth may be better, fit underneath, as long as they don't have those big, you know, those bars. But even still, you got three and a dog, you can move it. Or a corner or something like that so that the dog can get comfortable, you can be comfortable.
Hey, you know, I'm not trying to jump in and interrupt, but I do know that quite a few of us have some 1 o'clock meetings.
Yeah. Okay. So well, you listen. I have to tell you this. You have to say enough. You have to stop talking.
Tapping out.
Yeah. Yeah. I just watched this quick video.
Quick?
This is what you say.
Maybe not so quick. Yeah, yeah. A lot of
information. You should have said, Donna, you got 30 minutes. Make it quick. I have a friend who will tell her friend, time me. And when I'm up 2 minutes, cut me off. Because we just do. We don't realize. We don't see a clock. And unless somebody says, yo.
And that's a great point. I think you really taught us so many things today. Because like I said, a lot of us, we don't spend a lot of time working with people who have visual impairments. So we really, really appreciate you coming out to Needs today.
Anytime.
Yeah,
come
visit anytime.
Sorry.
We do have a little gift for you and Toby. So this is for you for taking time out of your day today.
Oh, I love the
And I'm sure if anyone has any questions on your way out that I don't think Donna's rushing out the door, if there's anything else you wanted answered that we didn't have time to answer in the big group.
But anytime you need me to talk or anything like that, give me a ring. You got my number.
Yeah, we're on a texting basis now.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, you're very welcome.
You did good. You actually stepped up.
I just go out on an old wrestling. I don't know what she's saying. You know, and that's one of the problems I was telling you about. She just, I swear she has ADD. Yeah, just a little, you know, that energy. Emma, no. No, it's hard when I have a lot of dog smells on me. Oh, it does. But she's just something that, you know, you got to keep working at. Yep. But good luck in your meeting.
Oh, do you guys, I know you were talking, so you barely got to eat. Are you sure? Because you guys could definitely, like, hang out.
I think she ate her meal.